purport. The administrative posts occupied by the demigods for maintaining the regulations of the material world are offered to the highly elevated pious beings. When there is scarcity of such pious living beings, the Lord incarnates himself as Brahma, Prajapati, Indra, etc., and takes up the charge. During the period of Svayambhuva Manu, the present period is of Vaivasvata Manu, there was no suitable living being who could occupy the post of Indra, the king of the Indraloka, heaven planet. Mm-hmm. The Lord himself at that time became Indra, as assisted by his own sons like Yama and other demigods. Lord Yagya ruled the administration of the universal affairs. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Ravani Pajarine Nirvijeta Sunyavadi Asgadare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. My dear devotees, I'm very happy to be here amongst you. Really feel very elevated and grateful, but highly constrained by time, so you please allow me. I must admit to you, I have nothing to say on this verse because, it's just an information and which is given about how the Lord comes when there is an administrative post to be covered which no qualified pious being can cover. He comes and jumps in, so to say, because he has an interest. He has an interest that the original purpose for which he conceived the material world is also fulfilled. That interest of the Lord is different from what many people think, also different from what many of us might think about the world. The world is good. The environment is friendly. Whatever happens, even the difficult things in our life are meant for our upliftment, because the Lord created this world not to punish but to elevate. Whatever is happening to us, which is very, very difficult, we must take responsibility for it ourselves. It came to correct us in whatever way is necessary. So to make sure that everything goes according to plan in this world, the Lord has not abandoned the world like so many think, but he is ready to stand in a boring administrative post of a material part, a dark shadow of his creation, the material world. He's ready to come there personally to stand in, to see that the original purpose of this world, of reforming us, helping us to move on, learning our lessons, is fulfilled. What do you consider the most important and most pertinent also, or relevant lesson for you to learn in this world. If you figure this out, my dear devotees, you know how to transform misery into the greatest happiness.
Yeah?
I'm asking you. I know it's a little early in the morning. And, oh, no, not thinking, please. This is too much for us. I help you. You must learn to turn to Krishna in whatever situation you find yourself. Once you have learned this little art, to turn to Krishna, everything will make sense what happens. But as long as you forget this little art, everything which happens is difficult to understand. You must learn to turn to Krishna, not theoretically, not officially, not philosophically even. You must learn to turn to Krishna with your heart, with coming before his lotus feet and pray, being finally ready to pray, my dear Lord, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in this material world, today I'm turning towards you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. If these lines come from your mouth, not by rote, not because you have learned them, not because it's fashionable to say this in our circles, but because you feel this is where you are now, then the whole material world, the dark cloud of Maya, lifts from your life, and you see brightness and happiness and the Lord wherever you glance. Hare Krishna. Really, not this is not theoretically, this is practical. There is some very nice example in our scriptures, and I wanted to talk about this morning. I must say, I somehow had another verse which was given to me, but no problem. Bhagavatam is nectarian where we touch it, because it's the Lord himself. But I wanted to talk about how Arjuna, the great devotee of Krishna, reacted in the greatest existential crisis he could possibly face. It was, you know, if you think you have difficulties, in comparison to what Arjuna faced, when Krishna left the planet, this is nothing. What he did is, after a series of mishaps which had happened to him, is he really turned to Krishna. There's a very nice verse which I would like to recite, and I would like to read part of the purport for all of us. I'm yearning to hear this verse myself. I have heard it a few times, but today I want to hear it also. This is also for me. Some nectar will come. Get ready, sit straight, tell your mind, don't sleep now, be here now. Vasudevam granudhyana paribrimhitaram hasa bhaktya nirmatita shesha kashaya dishanojuna. Translation. Arjuna turned to Krishna. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. Purport. Material desires in the mind are the trash, or as you say in English, the rubbish of material contamination. By such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible, things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. Prabhupada speaks of discouragement because of this material contamination which we suffer from. Birth after birth, the conditioned soul, that's us, is entrapped with so many pleasing and displeasing elements, which are all false and temporary. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. But when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord in His variegated energies by devotional service, the naked forms of all material desires become manifest, and the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. Let me read this again, because I know our listening habits can be improved. What did Prabhupada just say? I know if I would ask you, you would say, let me think for a while, and then lose even the point further. What he says is, we have so many things happening to us which are pleasing and displeasing. They all happen because we have these material desires in us. But when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord, the naked forms of all material desires become manifest, and the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. As soon as Arjuna turned his attention towards the instructions of the Lord, as they are inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita, his true color of eternal association with the Lord became manifest, and thus he felt free from all material contaminations. In simple words, what Srila Prabhupada here explains is a great secret in spiritual life. When you turn to Krishna, for just a brief moment, the darkness becomes darker. In other words, you see for the first time the naked forms of your material desires and your existence. But because you have now turned to Krishna and faced the sorrow of your own lowliness, therefore, from there, you can march on with a purified intelligence. You can say, my Lord, I did a mistake, but I can see now, I only need you. And at that time, the true, Prabhupada says it so nice, his true color of eternal association with the Lord became manifest. In other words, you start to become reinstalled as in your life, your natural life as a devotee. Let me just move, talk a little bit about this. When we get in touch with the Lord through the devotional service, the naked forms of Maya become manifested. You see your life as it really is. This is in stark contrast to a lot of easy types of preaching, where we say, if you come to Krishna consciousness, immediately everything is blissful. No, it's very dark immediately. This is wrong preaching. It is for superficial persons. There is something like an awakening, first of all, to your own fallen situation, where you really understand, I need the Lord, I need Him. I made such a mistake by turning away from Him. Genuine spiritual traditions have spoken up, or genuine, let us say, I don't want to say genuine spiritual traditions, I want to say genuine spiritual people have spoken about dark nights of the soul. It means when you face your own fallen situation. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it so beautifully. He says, the Lord is so difficult to attain, but he becomes attained by those who are willing, listen to this, who are willing to face the sorrow of their own lowliness. It's a sorrow. It's a deep pain. Oh, whoa, I didn't know. I'm so bad. I'm so fallen. I'm so contaminated. No, this needs to be seen. And therefore you hear the great acharyas lament about their fallen condition. It's not pleasing. It's a very disturbing. Oh no, I left the only person who ever loved me. I left a Krishna. At that time, now, my dear devotees, when you see what material existence really means, at that time you are faced with a choice. Do I wish to take shelter now in meaningless distractions in Maya, or do I finally wish to turn to Krishna? When you see this, you have a choice. There is a very interesting image I want to project before your eyes. There is a literature called the Odyssey. It describes the journey of one Greek king called Ulysses. Ulysses fought and expanded the Greek Empire. I really don't know so much about this part of his life. But when it was time for him to turn back, and after all his exploits as adventures, he went on a ship to his own kingdom. Now, this ship had to pass a difficult passage in the ocean. It was, you can understand, ancient Greek, there were a few rocky islands everywhere. And on one island, there lived sirens, they are called. These are like people from the mystical folk, and they would there were women who were actually witches, but they could create an illusion, and they looked very beautiful, and they sang very beautifully. What they did is they sang so beautifully that the ships changed their course, drove towards them where they sat on the rocky island, and thought, let us go to these beautiful women. But the ships, which were distracted from the course and went towards the island, always became shipwrecked. This is what these witches wanted. And however, they were able to deceive the poor people on the ships so much that all they heard was not these, was beautiful singing. They saw beautiful humans sitting on the rock, and the islands, which were barren and which were overstrewn with the skeletons of all these poor boat people. They saw them as paradisical islands with mangoes and papayas and everything. So they were really Maya devis. Hare Krishna. They were really what we call Maya is like. It's one. They projected one image, but it was totally different. The naked form of Maya, where there was not all this deception, was so terrible. It was just death, death, death. So Ulysses knew about this island, and he knew that no boat person, how do you call these? Sailors. Thank you. I looked for this word. No sailors had ever escaped these women. They were called, in German, die Sirenen. Sirens. Thank you so much. You know English very well. Because that's a difficult word, the sirens. So Ulysses said to his other sailors, I would love to hear them and see them. Oh, no, don't do this, said the sailors. They will deceive you. I can't imagine that they deceive me, said Ulysses. Let's make a try. No, let's not make a try, said the experienced sailors. It's dangerous. You will see one thing which looks very beautiful. You will hear one thing which sounds very beautiful, but this is death. They mean to kill you. They're very dangerous. Ulysses said, then okay. Then do one thing. You just bind me on the ship mast. You just really bind me. You don't hear whatever I asked you to do. You just don't listen to me. What you can do is we sail close by so that I can hear and just steal a glance towards them. But you put vox in your eyes and you blindfold yourself. But I shouldn't have no vox, and I should have no blindfold. I want to see. It's like some of us. We want to see Maya. Just see. Just a little. So, are you interested how this continues? So they bound Ulysses on the mast really strong. He was a strong man in case he wanted to escape, do something foolish. And they armed themselves. They put vox in their ears and blindfolded themselves. And then they steered the ship by. Ulysses started to hear it. It was a sweet song. Come closer, everything is very beautiful here. Look and open your eyes. And he saw a paradisical island. Oh, it's really nice. It's not as bad as the sailors have said. Go closer. He ordered his sailors. The sailors didn't hear him. They didn't look in his direction, but they went by. The sirens started to sing louder. Oh, it's so beautiful here. I don't know what they sang. They sang it much more beautiful. Maybe our Jayadev would be able to sing like them, but he is a devotee. His singing is very is pulling us to Krishna. So they sing very beautifully, and Ulysses said, "This is all what I've heard is they are good people. They are highly intelligent. They are very very caring people. No, and outstandingly beautiful they are, and so on." And he ordered, "I order you, just bring me close to them. It's an illusion. It was bad propaganda." The sailors kept on the track. My dear devotees, he became. He heard more and more. They increased the volume, you know. And he became mad with desire. But because he was bound very strongly, he was brought out of the danger zone, and the ship did not become shipwrecked like every other ship before. Prabhupada talks here. This is very interesting. The sailors saw it as it was. They saw the naked form. Prabhupada has such a good language here. Yes, when you get in touch with the transcendental Lord, the naked forms of all material desires become manifest. They saw the island overstrewn with corpses of skeletons. They didn't hear the song of Maya because they had armed themselves against it, and they were able to pass all the temptations. The strong Ulysses, who had conquered many kingdoms, was not able to do so. In fact, he succumbed and fell under the influence. So, my dear devotees, I wanted to just talk about this to make a point. When you advance in spiritual life, Maya will also be there and test you. At that time, know the remedy. The remedy is twofold. One is a little process where you need to regret that you are a fallen soul. You need to really feel it, that you have made the mistake by turning away from Krishna. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. When you see these material desires come up, you need to make the step you decide the proper site. I will go with Krishna. I will take the help of Krishna. I will surrender to his sound incarnation, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I will in this way make my spiritual advancement in a very succinct way. That is very important. We all will be tested, like Ulysses was tested, who didn't really pass the test. He could not cross over it. And we, at that time, need to make the right decision. And in my mind, what I want to say this morning to all of you, the right decision is hear from Krishna. Hear the Bhagavatam regularly. Make it a habit to relish the Bhagavatam, because in the Bhagavatam you will find that Krishna manifests himself through the pages of the Bhagavatam to give you the cue how to live your life in Krishna consciousness. When Krishna left this planet, Earth, there's this very nice shloka in the Bhagavatam. At that time, Kali entered the atmosphere of the world to bewilder the conditioned souls. The Lord saw that, and he manifested in his kindness the Srimad Bhagavatam to give light to those souls who forget the right path, who become attracted to Maya, to their material desires. Maya comes inside of them, and they lose the proper path. They lose the proper direction, and they become miserable. But by reading the Bhagavatam, a wonderful transformative process happens inside. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, we say. The abhadras, the inauspicious contaminations, the rubbish or trash of material contamination is slowly and gradually removed. Slowly and gradually it gets removed. But you need to make it a habit to relish the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam class, in my experience, is not always doing the work, because sometimes they are so boring. Yes, I'm one of you. We can speak amongst, we are devotees. Why not speak like it is, And also, it may not be enough, because in the morning, see, we always listen to Bhagavatam, but do we really listen? Anything which you do again and again and again, the mind has the tendency to switch off. You know this when you do japa. Have you heard one mantra today? I always ask the devotees. I mean, really listen to one mantra. It's difficult in Kali Yuga. Yes, yes, yes. So you need to make a personal study of the Bhagavatam. That's why Prabhupada requested us to read additionally to the class for an hour a day if possible, or anything we can read. Because then the Lord manifests in your heart. You will see that all of a sudden you feel close to Krishna. You feel his presence in the heart. First imperceptibly, in other words, you feel only the effect, you just feel wonderful, you feel relieved, but then you begin to think regularly of Krishna. And then when Krishna sees that you really want him, my dear devotees, something very wonderful happens. Krishna accepts you as his own, and he makes it his personal work to reclaim you back. He doesn't speak to the unserious people, but he speaks to those who seriously turn to him and want him. I want to end my class to give room for a few questions by telling you a nice pastime which is related to Lord Ram. I thought always I speak about Krishna, but when I'm in the Bhaktivedanta manner because of Radha Gokulananda, but there is also another altar, Lord Ram, and I want to glorify Lord Ram in the light of what we have heard today. When there was a very, very problematic situation for Hanuman. How would the monkey army cross the ocean to come to Lanka and reclaim Sita? He sat before the ocean. It was not really his concern. He could jump, but no one, not even Angada and Sugriva, were able to jump, but then they couldn't return. This was a jump which no one could do. Lord Ram had taken the whole monkey army. For Hanuman, it was a sign that he wanted the war to be fought with the monkey. Hanuman had no doubt that the Lord could do it himself because he's the Almighty Lord, but he wanted it like this. So he felt, somehow, how do we get these monkeys across the ocean? How do we do this? He had talked with Nala and Nila, the two engineers of the army who were building bridges and so on, but they had shaken their head. You can't build a bridge over such a vast ocean. Where will you rest the bridge on? It was not possible. Hanuman was very, very distressed. He was melancholic. Oh no. Should the work of my Lord fail here? And he threw angrily a stone in the ocean and watched the stone sinking. Bloop. Should the whole mission just sink like this? Was everything in vain? Ah, he threw a few other stones and they all sank. This is how our mission will fail here. And then he said, "Oh, Ram," and he threw another stone. We watched the stone. It was swimming. Took another stone and threw it. It was sinking. What did I just do? This stone is still swimming. Oh, I said the holy name. Let's try it. Ram threw it, and it was swimming. It works. He pronounced the holy name of Ram, and stone after stone was swimming. This is the solution. We built a bridge with Rama stones. He went to his Lord. My Lord, the solution is there. What is it? Said Ram, smiling. It is this. And Hanuman took a stone. Ram threw it. It was swimming. The Lord smilingly shook his head. Let me try, the Lord said. And he threw a stone into the ocean and it sank. It doesn't work, Hanuman. We need another solution. He took another stone, and the Lord said his own name, Ram, and threw it. It sank. Hanuman, however, was not bewildered. He got tears of ecstasy in his eyes, and he said, My Lord, what do you expect? Anyone who's rejected by you can only sink in the ocean of samsara. If you throw the stones away, you reject them and they sink on the bottom. But any soul who is accepted by you, he will cross the ocean of samsara. You cannot throw away stones, my Lord. You may stroll on the beach of the ocean, back and forth, as you please. It is our work. We are your servants. He called the monkeys. He said, this works. And they all tried it unbelievingly at first. Ram threw the stones, but they floated. And in this way, the stone bridge was created to Lanka. Sri Ramachandra ki jai. Hare Krishna. So, my dear devotees, let us show the Lord that we mean it seriously. Let us turn to the Lord. And in Kali Yuga, two ways of turning to the Lord work. Take his holy name in seriousness. Become interested to work on the obstacles on your chanting. That is, avoid the offenses like anything. My dear devotees, and take to the reading of the Bhagavatam. With religious regularity, you need to do it in three ways. Bhagavatam informs us. Shraddhaya, with faith, you need to read. Second is, you need to do it regularly. This is nityam. Always read the Bhagavatam. No day should pass without reading the Bhagavatam. And then you need to do svacheshtitam, with the effort to be attentive and to be alert. Even if there are some days where you just can't pay so much attention because your mind is just distracted and filled with the stress called London. Means living in London. No problem. Try your best and you will be saved. This is all what I wanted to say this morning. I notice I'm very good in time. This is the first time. I'm amazing. This was a heartfelt lecture. I really tried to tell you from my own experience what I have noticed about making choices when you see, you have to make the right choice when you see how fallen you are, how the naked forms of illusion. Don't give in to illusion. If necessary, bind yourself on your sofa and don't move forward, and then come. Shruti Nama, we are finished. We are giving pleasure to your heart. No. I'm saying it. Shruti Dhamma and ourselves. We are very friendly disposed to each other. We will not misunderstand. I wanted to give ample time for for questions, because this was not a technical lecture. It was a lecture from the heart about deep spiritual topics. And we are all on the path. We try to advance in our own ways. So if you have any questions regarding moving forward in Krishna consciousness, I'm here to serve you up to 9:15. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji. Your good name, please. Yogesh Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. When the Lord came to take the position of Indra, what aspect of his yogmaya did he project? Was it his transcendental form, or was he subject? Did he allow the modes of material nature to influence his activities?
I think you refer to this shloka, when there was no suitable living being who could occupy the post of Indra, the king of Indra Loka, the Lord himself at that time became Indra. Is it here where your question is focused? Yeah. Well, the Lord always appears by the help of his inner potency, the Yogamaya potency. But then what he does in this world is he applies in many cases his Mahamaya potency, especially at the time when he needs to correct the living entities. There is one interesting pastime which I cannot talk in full, the Brahma Vimohana Leela. You remember Brahma wanted to test the Lord if he is really the Lord. And what he did is he had made a plan. He wanted to kidnap the cowherd boys, hide them in a cave somewhere in the universe, and test the Lord by his reaction. What would he do now? Now the Lord knew this. And the Lord then used his Yogamaya potency to put the first set, the original set of cowherd boys, on the bank of the Yamuna. They stayed there. Because Brahma could not possibly, he's a being of the external energy, lay his hand on the cowherd boys who were beings of the internal energies. Then Lord Krishna created by his Mahamaya potency a second set of cowherd boys who sat where the original set had sat. And Brahma stole these beings which were created by Mahamaya and brought them to the original, to where he wanted to place them. Then, after some time, Yogesh, now see the glories of our Lord. See it and fall on the ground in ecstasy, or stay where you are. Better stay where you are. Then the Lord manifested by his own transcendental potency a third set of cowherd boys. When Brahma came back to see what does the Lord do, he saw he's there with all his friends. He bewildered Brahma, now with his Yogamaya potency. Then the Lord wanted to show how he's the Lord, and he showed Brahma that all these cowherd boys were expansions of the Vasudev feature of his being. You know, Brahma chants Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And in this way, the Lord now showed him, see, I'm that Lord whom you manifest, whom you worship. Here, see, I've just manifested into all these cowherd boys. But there were millions of Vasudevs, forearm form. This was too much for Brahma. Brahma wanted to go back to his planet to think about everything. He's Brahma. But when he came, there were gods before his planet who said, "Who are you? Who am I? I'm Brahma, can't you see?" The coward boys, the gods said, "You are an imposter. Brahma sits in his palace. We just saw him, and he told us there will soon be an imposter Brahman, Brahma, who will come, and he will pretend he is Brahma. He will point at his forehead and says, 'Can't you see?' But he is a magic form of Brahma. He's an illusion. He's a mayic Brahma. Chase him away." We know who that Brahma in the palace was. Krishna, who had taken this form. So, but when Krishna deals with the conditioned souls, he uses his Mahamaya, like he did when he produced that set which of cowherd boys which Brahma stole. So Indra, when the Lord comes as Krishna into Indra, but how he deals in the universe, he will use the Mahamaya. He comes with this Yoga Maya, uses Mahamaya. Thank you.